Today, our church family has suffered a significant blow. And again, if you didn't know or if you came in and unexpectedly, we're not trying to bring you down with us. We actually hope to bring you up with us. We did suffer a significant blow. We lost a loved one, a dear one, a brother. Today is not the funeral. That we don't know yet. We'll let you know when that is going to happen. But though it's not the funeral, I am totally aware that we are all people who are grieving. The Hallmark Company does the best it can to string together words that will bring some sort of lifting and comfort in their sympathy cards. And I stand before you today. I couldn't get a job at the Hallmark Company, and if it's up to me, I feel completely incapable. There are no words that I could come up with what will bring the comfort that we all long for and need today. But by God's grace, we have His Word. And God, and I want you to see this and feel this, God, the reality of the living God in His great love and care for all of you has saw fit to speak true and ultimate comfort. So I want to serve you all today by guiding you into the sweet promises of the living God that He is proclaiming over all of you with intention, not just to throw some frivolous thoughts and positive attitudes, but the very Word of God. I have to tell you this, that last night as I was praying for you and praying for this whole situation and what do I bring today, it was hard to pick a passage of Scripture because God is absolutely aware that we live in a broken world. And God fills the Scripture with promise after promise after promise that intends to take the downcast and lift them up. And so it was a hard chore to find the right one. And that's very encouraging because we can take where we're going to go today and linger in it and go all over the Scriptures and hear the loving voice of God speak to us. The specific place that we're going to gaze at today is in the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms. We're going to look at Psalm 23, actually, which when I worked through this and was experienced the comfort I received from Psalm 23, I thought it sounded almost a cliche thing for a pastor to do in a situation like this. And I don't want you to think it trite or insignificant. This is not cliche. This is reality. And this is a place where many have seen God clearly. Many have met the very face and heart of God in Psalm 23. Many people have been sustained in the deepest agonies by listening to, being read, reading themselves, meditating on the 23rd Psalm. Psalm 23 is a fountain. It is a wellspring. It is the nourishing waters of the living God that are being applied to our hearts today. There was a pastor 150-some years ago who wrote about the 23rd Psalm. And here's what he said 150 years ago, speaking of Psalm 23. He shared that Psalm 23 has comforted the noble host of the poor. It has sung courage to the army of the disappointed. It has poured balm and consolation into the heart of the sick, of captives in dungeons, of widows in their pinching griefs, of orphans in their loneliness. Dying soldiers have died easier as it was read to them. Ghastly hospitals have been illuminated by Psalm 23. Psalm 23 has visited the prisoner and broken his chains. And as this pastor said, and I would reiterate, its work isn't done. It's done the work, and it will continually do the work. And I pray to God that it does the work this morning, the 23rd Psalm. This psalm has the potential of bringing cheer to the discouraged, hope to the disheartened, and comfort to the grieving. So may God give us eyes to see and ears to hear and faith to believe all that God has for us this morning. Let me read through Psalm 23. This is page 478 in your pew Bible. I didn't mention that. 458 in your pew Bible. This is a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now let's pray. For 1,000+ years, God in heaven, You have brought balm to the needy through this word from Your heart and mind. And I'm convinced that You wish to declare Yourself to be a shepherd to all who are here today. I pray that You will win hearts, that You will bring those in captivity and set them free, that the grief we experience will not be grief to despair. We will be lifted. That confusion might be scattering our brains will be lifted. Lord, I just end this by saying that You would do 1,000 things more than I could ever ask or imagine. So comfort us, I ask, Father. I ask You, Shepherd, tend to our souls so that we might bring the comfort in which we've been comforted to those who need it. And I pray this as a desperate sinner redeemed by Jesus Christ and confident that You hear our prayers and will work. And so we do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, with our hearts that are needy and broken, we look to Psalm 23 and we see our God. I hope you hear that. You see the living God, the shepherd. Right up front, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Christian symbols. In fact, I have a book that I was going to recommend. It's The Lord Being a Shepherd. Johnny Erickson taught his book, When God Weeps. I brought this up here, by the way, if anybody is interested. This is a good thing to just take with you. It's from the church library. But the shepherd analogy is one that God means to have. What does a shepherd do? A shepherd tends to every care of the sheep. Every need of the sheep, the shepherd comes after to take care of it. So when the sheep is wounded, the shepherd comes along and binds up the wound. When the sheep is weary, the shepherd actually picks up the sheep, carries over his shoulder. When the sheep are in danger, the shepherd comes and brings protection and leads them to the freedom and safety of his care. The shepherd provides for their needs, feeds them, waters them. In fact, if you're reading through Psalm 23, one of the things it seems like is that sheep are high maintenance. They are so much that they need. And if you even understand the analogy God's given, I believe there are two things He's showing us. We are vulnerable sheep, all of us. We are very vulnerable. And we are blockheaded. We scatter easily. We frighten easily. It does not take much to shatter our worlds. And God's aware of that, and He's putting that before us. Yeah, that's us. We wander. We stray. But then, Psalm 23 is not about the sheep, really. It's about the shepherd. And the picture, what's happening in Psalm 23 is he's striving, I believe God is striving to actually bring color to our worlds right now. The picture God wants us to get in our heads and hearts is He is the shepherd. In fact, he is your shepherd. This is what God Himself has enlisted Himself to do. This is what your God Himself is delighting in doing. I am your shepherd. In fact, let's just trace that. The Lord is my shepherd. You look all over the Bible and most of it's plural. It's about us. It's about community. And I love that. This is so rich right now. As I started the service, it is good to be with family, Christian family. But Psalm 23 goes deep and it becomes very personal. The Lord is my shepherd. Personal concern and care for the sheep. So let this fall on you. Hear the voice of Almighty God, creator of the heavens and earth, supreme over all things, King of kings, Lord of lords, every prominent ruler who's ever existed in the history of humanity will one day bow before the living God, confess Jesus as Lord, and this God comes to you and I and says, I am your personal shepherd. Of the billions of people on earth, we have the confidence through the word of God that I can say, the Lord is my shepherd. He is my shepherd. In other words, the living God has donned the garments of a servant and has pledged to be a faithful shepherd to each of his sheep. Your God has donned the garments of a servant and has pledged to you to be your faithful shepherd. So if you've experienced new birth in Christ, this is not for all of humanity. Scripture makes it clear that there is exclusivity to this, that all of us are sheep. Isaiah talks about this in Isaiah. He says that we are all like sheep. We've wandered. We've gone astray. But Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, has come to bring us right, make us right with the living God. And so every person in this room who has experienced the new birth in Jesus Christ, you've experienced the forgiveness of all of your sins, not because you've been to church or because you've been baptized, but because Christ alone atoned for your sins. And you are absolutely leaning on him for salvation, for atonement, for your sins. Then you can actually, and hear this, you can take absolute confidence that the Lord God of heaven and earth is your personal shepherd. That is so rich. Well, we could take a lot of time in Psalm 23. Let me hit some highlights here of what our shepherd does. He is, one thing we see right up front is he is active. You look at Psalm 23 and it's full of action. And it's full of God's action. It's full of God active, going. He's doing all kinds of things. And what we find out, it's that the living God is a constant shepherd. It's continuous. It's not like he punches in and then at midnight he's done for the day and somebody else hopefully is going to take over. In fact, what you find in Psalm 23 is every action we see here is listed, except for one, the last verse, it's future tense. But every other one is in present tense. All these verbs are in the present tense. So we read here, he makes me lie down in green pastures, present tense. So what does that mean? I'm not trying to confuse you. This is precious. What that means is he's been doing this. It's been this activity that's been ongoing. He's doing it right now. And there's no end in sight. It's going to keep going. Present tense, the beauty of the present tense. The living God constantly shepherds, continuously active in taking care of us. Psalm, our Philippians chapter 2, when we were looking at that, that God is at work in us, tirelessly active both to will and do of his good pleasure. So listen, you don't have to fear that God's going to neglect you or get weary of shepherding you or finally get frustrated and kick you out of the fold. Jesus himself said in John 6, that will not happen. He, the sheep, hear his voice and he abides with them. God is your shepherd in all circumstances. So listen, my family, in the midst of suffering, your God is actively, continually, faithfully shepherding you. He has not abandoned you. He has not forgotten about you. He has not gotten distracted with the other needs of the sheep. He shepherds. He makes me lie down. He leads me. He restores. He is with me. He prepares a table for me. He anoints my head with oil. So what that means is rain or shine, feast or famine, on my good days and on my bad days, as Psalm 23 lays out, on the grassy plain, those soft grasses, and even through the dark valley. In those peaceful, prosperous times, and even when we have a significant blow that brings great grief, he tirelessly shepherds. And I want you to look at the razor-sharp focus of God's shepherding activity. I'm afraid that many of us can read Psalm 23 and we get hung up. Maybe, I don't know if you'll do this or not, but you get hung up on what seems to be like physical blessings here. When you look at Psalm 23, verse 3, I believe, says, he restores my soul. He goes to the very depths of who we are and brings his shepherding care. The grief is deep, and he's not just on the outward throwing a Band-Aid on it. He restores my soul. Psalm 23 is full of imagery. There's all kinds of images in here. We don't take it as literally that we are sheep and so we have a tail and we have lots of fur. It's not literal. It's all images. So he is a shepherd. We are sheep. Even the paths he leads us on are paths of righteousness. The valley that we go through, it's not literal, it's the valley of the shadow of death. So when we get to verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. We don't take that as he's only concerned for our physical bodies. Yes, he is concerned for physical needs that we might have. But ultimately, he's after our soul. He restores not our fortunes, not our physical health, not freedom of grief. Ultimately, he brings nourishment to our souls. Your shepherd goes to the very depths of your being, and he is shepherding. That's what I need today. That's what you need today. I need more than what Hallmark can provide for me. I need more than what David Buckley could share with you. I need a shepherd who doesn't just proclaim his word, but he takes it by means of the Holy Spirit and goes so deep that even though I feel like the quicksand is up to my neck and I'm about to go under, and I feel the pressure and agony of life, yet my feet have found a bedrock, and I know I'll be okay. The living God is my shepherd, and he will shepherd my soul. Now, let's go to 1 Peter, and I want to just show that Psalm 23 is an ancient text. But what we see, even the present tense, ongoing ministry of Jesus Christ himself is that of a shepherd. And he's a shepherd that looks strategically at our souls, so that what we need now most is not the relief of pain, not to be done with grief, but the shepherd is coming to us that while we're in pain and grief, we will find our hearts resting in his care. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25, we read of the ongoing ministry of King Jesus, the Lamb of God, the great shepherd. It says the reality that though for you were straying like sheep, which is a biblical analogy of living apart from the grace of God, outside of his fold, you were straying like sheep, but you have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Christ himself ministers his grace as the shepherd and overseer of your soul. And he's leading you in paths of righteousness. And I know that what has happened is deeply tragic, and it's affected so many of us. But the living God, the great shepherd, right now is actively leading us into paths of righteousness, which means he's not saying, okay, I'm going to take the grief away today, right now. And he is going to help us. He is going to lift the grief. We're not going to plunge under it. But he's leading us to paths of righteousness. So to trust him more, there's nothing I can do. I must trust him. To love him more, to feel his promises like I've never experienced them before. To take my faith that was there and just ratchet it up a notch or 10. To take the life that we've been living, and with an event that is tragic, it sobers us up to ultimate realities and makes what has been a little bit distant much more clear. Easter Sunday is going to be sweet. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Those aren't just words, that's a reality, and we experience that now more than ever. The testimony of believers through the ages, we find this in 2 Corinthians 5, is that we walk right now by faith, not by sight. And the best I can do to shepherd you today, as the under-shepherd over the great shepherd, our King Jesus, is to let you know that I know, and even more important than that, God knows, that often in the in the throes of affliction, when bad things happen, the realities of the promises of God get clouded. And right now, faith that God intends to grow gets a little shaky. And the nearness of God that God is drawing you into might feel a bit distant. When we should fear, when we should not fear, we do. When we should be content, we're not. When we should find rest, we are restless. And so I want to point you to the shepherd and overseer of our soul, what he proclaimed in John chapter 14. Here's what he says in John chapter 14, in verse 1. He says, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Now, this is on the throes of a death here too. Jesus is about to die, and he's preparing him for it. And in the midst of what they're about to experience, in this absolutely shocking, unbelievable experience, he says, "Let not your hearts be troubled." And then he goes on to say this. This is the secure. This is the bedrock. He says, "Believe in God. Believe also in me." The cry of my heart and the cry of the living God to you today is, believe in God. Believe also in Jesus, the shepherd and overseer of your soul. All he pledges to be, all he pledges to do, he will. Believe that he is your shepherd. Believe that he is with you. Believe that. Know that he is with you. Believe that he's up to some things even in the midst of this tragedy. And as I mentioned before, believe even that 1,000 years from now, what is only faith now will be a full reality. And we will live in unending praise and joy and peace when we abide in the reality of the shepherd. Believe it, my brothers and sisters. Believe it. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. So may God grant us faith to grow, faith to sustain us, and faith to endure. Now let's pray. Again, Father, we find ourselves in our midst, and we've done a lot of praying in our service today, and we've been doing a lot of praying in the last 24 hours. Oh, how our hearts grieve. Oh, how thankful we are that we have the living God saying, "I will comfort you." Oh, how blessed we are, Father, that we are loved by you. Oh, how gifted we are to know that you are a sovereign king. There were no accidents. The days of our life are already numbered. And so we are grateful that you are a sovereign king who guides our lives with wisdom and care and love. And so I urge you, Father, that you will grow faith. God, may our church now be light in a world that desperately needs it. In the next few days, there will be many, many conversations. When people ask us how we're doing, may we clearly, because of the reality of what we've experienced, be able to say that I am being strengthened by the sovereign grace of God. So may that be our reality. With the comfort now that you've comforted us, lead us to now bring that comfort to others. And again, we pray for Sheila. Pray for Tessa and Taya and Kaisa. Their world has been completely rocked, turned upside down. Yet, everything we've seen already, they have their feet on that bedrock, and we praise you for that. Keep it there, sustain them, bring comfort like they've never experienced it, we pray. And I ask that you will lead us as your body, Jesus incarnate, that we would represent you well and bring care like we should. Deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow you in service to people who are in need. So these things we pray because of the reality of what we know. This is not us appeasing a God. This is not living out religion. This is us who are loved sons and daughters, sheep in your fold, and we praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's have our musicians come and we'll sing.
As we prepare to sing the closing song, it's called "It Is Well With My Soul," written by Horatio Spafford, and most of you know the story behind that. As we sing this song, we all grieve in different ways, but May we truly be able to say how the chorus states, it is well with my soul. So let's stand as we close in.
Like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well.
We're just going to pray for you. Pastors want to pray over you and over the situation and just rejoice in the promises of our King. So,
let's pray together. Father, we stand here praising you because it is well with our soul. But our hearts do ache, Lord. Because the truth is, we loved Rick. And the truth is, we will miss him. And the truth is that Sheila and Tessa and Tay and Kaisa are without their father and without their husband. But it is also true, Father, that Christ died on the cross for Rick. And because of that, Rick is your child. And Father, right now, Rick is with you because your word tells us it's true, and we believe you. And Father, we thank you that Yes, they have lost their earthly father. But Taya, Tessa, and Kaisa have you as their father. So be the father of comfort to them, I pray. Embrace them, Lord. May they know you in a deeper, more personal way than they've ever known you before. And may you be glorified. And for Sheila, her friend is now gone. She has been a rock, standing on the faith of Christ. Father, may she continue to do that. Father, may she come out of this praising and thanking you for the God that you are. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you that today, as we've been praising you here on earth, that Rick has been at your feet worshiping you in person. What a glorious thought, Father, and we thank you for that hope that you have given us. May the world see the light of your love in us through this time. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, we continue in prayer, and my prayer extends to all the sheep in the care of Country Bible Church specifically. As Fred prayed well, thank you, Father, for that. We are a people who by grace are weeping right now because we aren't cold-hearted, because we aren't hardened by sin's strongholds. We ache, and we ache for a people, and we ache for Sheila. We ache for the girls, Tessa, Taya, Kaisa, for Buck and Dodo, for Jerry and Millie, for Rick's brother and sister, for Nick, for Ashley. So many people are touched by this, many people we can and should be praying for, but we lay them before your feet, knowing that you will care for them as the great shepherd and overseer of their soul. And our prayer is that we can be a people who live by faith, not by sight. That we won't be paralyzed by this event, absolutely shocking and stunning. But quickly you will help us make sense of it. We might not understand the whys. I don't believe we'll ever know why this man you struck down. But we do rejoice that he wasn't struck down, he was lifted up.
Yes.
And we pray that you will help us to be a people who don't just say that because that's what we want to believe, but because it is the eternal truth you've laid out in your word. And so I pray for this people, now that we've gathered, we'll now scattered, and we'll be a people who are given a job by our master, and that will be faithful to you in serving. So help us go outside the camp and bring nourishment and grace. But God, I have to pray that we will be able to do that in your strength. We can't do it. In fact, we hesitate because we feel so incapable. So just bring us the wisdom we need. May we be instruments in your hand to bring grace and apply the balm of your truth. So these things we do pray again because we rest in the reality that we are the redeemed, loved by you, cared for by you, the great shepherd and overseer of our souls. And so we do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you sit down for just a minute? I want to let you know that for Pastor Fred and myself, that pastoral care is extended. If you need to talk with us or pray with us or whatever, please come see us. We are absolutely available. And or maybe you know of somebody that isn't here or might be really struggling. That's where our hearts are and that we would all surround them. But if they need some pastoral care, please see us. This afternoon, we will determine, find out when the service times will be for the funeral, and we will announce that as quick as we get them. We'll do it through our normal routes of through email and the phone invite thing, the recorded phone message if you're on that, and Facebook at the Country Bible Church Wallace, Michigan Facebook page. It will be on that, or you could just call myself or Pastor Fred, and we'll let you know. We will be needing help. We suspect this will be something that the church body is going to have an opportunity to shine and bring love and care. And the influence of Rick is deep in our community, and so we're suspecting it will be a large gathering of people. So we'll need help setting up and cleaning up and preparing food and serving food. And so if you can help, We'll start this afternoon sending you in the directions for the food preparation or the setup preparation, but I just trust that you'll be willing and eager to be able to help us out. Let's see. Also, ongoing care. We've prayed to just go keep praying for the families and stop and visit. Send out an email or call them or write a note or a letter. I just call on you all to just bring the love of Christ now. And I want to try. We're not all going to do this well, but I would love this to continue not just for a week or two, but months from now. There's still letters and emails coming, so do that. And also, I think we might be providing some meals for them over the next few weeks. So there are needs. So let me pray with you, and then we'll be dismissed here today. Finally, again, we pray, God. And I pray that you will bring comfort. And now as we mingle a bit, there will be tears. Help us not to feel weird or awkward. This is what family does. And I pray that we will encourage one another and that we will be a people who are always looking to Jesus. Without Jesus, we have nothing. And so may we be a people that, yes, we are broken, but we're not in despair. That we grieve, we sorrow, but we also have joy. So make much of yourself, we pray, for the sake of not our little church's name, but for the sake of your mighty name, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. May you all go in God's peace. Thank you for coming. God bless.